I'm Nat.
And I'm Lizzie.
Welcome to The Third Space, a podcast by youth workers for youth workers to talk about the highs and lows of working with young folks outside of school and home. And today we are talking with our specialist of special guests, both because you're great and because you're our inaugural guest here on The Third Space, William Collier, who will be talking with us about setting boundaries.
This is Yay. So exciting.
So as part of, William, who are you? Tell us who you are. Why are you here?
Hi, my name is William Collier. I use he, him pronouns. I am a youth worker. I've been working with youth since I graduated high school in 2017 in a variety of different positions and in a variety of different organizations.
Great. We're so excited to chat with you further. So here at The Third Space, we always start with a check-in. And so today's will be, if you could be any kitchen utensil, what would you be and why? Does anyone feel ready to go?
I could go.
Great.
I think for me, I think I would probably be a toaster. I don't know. There's something just so fulfilling about just like a very crunchy piece of toast. Mm. And like I had this for breakfast yesterday. And it was just very, it just like reinvigorated me. And I was like, I haven't had toast in such a long time. And because sometimes I just forget about the toaster. But I think it's just like a newfound appreciation for just crunchy bread.
That's really, really
simple
real.
And delicious.
Yeah.
I think I would be a whisk. Ooh. Because
I was gonna say whisk too.
Oh, why were you? Well, we'll each have our own. Well,
yeah. Who are you?
Hi, I'm Nat. My pronouns are they, them. And I think I would be a whisk because, as many of our listeners may know, I am a triple air sign. And I feel like I just infuse air into everywhere I go. And isn't that what a whisk does?
Mm-hmm.
Like it, yeah, great. I have been the primary breakfast maker in our house. So now I feel more confident guessing what a whisk does. So I'm glad I was right.
That's great. Hello everyone. I'm Lizzie. My pronouns are she and her. I was going to say a whisk, but I won't say a whisk because I thought about it and landed on something else. We have this tiny liquid measuring cup that measures in tablespoons, but it's like a liquid, like a Pyrex measuring cup, but it's like little and it's like four, it's a quarter cup big. And so it has four tablespoon markings on it. And I feel like it's just a better way to do things. And I feel like that's often what I imagine that I like to bring to the world.
Yep.
It's just a better way. Like, not that like doing anything earth shattering. It's not that like the thing is that awesome. It's just that like, wow, like this was a lot better to do it this way. And I feel like that's what I like. Also, what I'm always striving for is like a better way to do things.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's what I would be.
Great. Yeah. Okay. So William, as our inaugural special guest, you are bringing a story with you today about setting boundaries with young folks. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, for sure. A couple of years ago, I volunteered for a youth program. And I think this was like probably 2018, I think, probably. So quite a bit of time ago. And I was a counselor and I was overseeing a handful of youth. I think they were like late high school, so probably like juniors. And it was like five or six of them. And it was, I think, like a Tuesday night. Everyone is still trying to like get to know each other and, you know, kind of bond in this big open space. And it was fun. And I think at the time I probably would have been like 20. And so not much older than the youth that I was, you know, looking after for a week, but it was, yeah, something like that. And I remember I was like reading a book, and I can't remember for the life of me what book, but I remember like my attention being pulled from that book to hear a conversation that was happening on the second floor. And it was about like youth having sex, which, you know, is not always a conversation I would want to jump into. And I remember it was happening upstairs, and I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, whatever. It's like, they all seem to be pretty much like consenting to it. It's like 4 or 5 kids or youth. And I was, you know, happily in my own world, went back to the book. And then a couple, maybe like 20 minutes later, the conversation ended up going upstairs. To the area that I was in, again, still reading my book. And I remember I had a pre-existing relationship with one of the youth because I went to high school with her. And so we had had, you know, conversations like this before because we have pretty much grown up together at this point. And I remember looking up at the wrong moment and making eye contact with this youth, and she drew me in, and she was like, yeah, you know what it's like. And I, as somebody who was, you know, 4-ish years older than these people, to me, like, they are kids, even though very much myself, I also felt like a child at the time. So it just was like a very interesting of like, I remember my face. Like I just know it went like 3 or 4, 5 shades deeper. I remember my ears getting really hot, and it was just like a sense of like uncomfortable. Yeah. And I just like, I remember stumbling over my words and was like, oh yeah. I don't know. I think y'all are pretty much having your own conversation. And I was like, and I hate to do this to you, 'cause like, I appreciate you drawing me into this conversation, but I'm in a very important part of this book that will, this is like key plot points. Like I need to all attention. I need to know what happens to this person. And in reality, I don't even think that was the case, but that was the first thing that my mind went to like kind of give myself an out of this conversation. I think now, had I been in that conversation, I would have been like, you know, that's, you know, I have my experiences with, you know, sexual activity, and those are my own, and I don't really feel comfortable sharing those with y'all at this point. But I do appreciate, you know, this invitation into joining this conversation, and I'm not going to like shut this conversation down because y'all are having it, and y'all seem to all be like benefiting from this. So I just kind of at that point kind of like sat there for a couple of minutes and then like politely excused myself to the bathroom and just didn't go back to that that area.
I disappeared and never returned.
Yeah, and nobody ever saw me again. But yeah, it was just like I think my second year as like a counselor, and the first year felt very, very welcoming, and I was like, yeah, this is fun. This is so much fun. I feel like I feel very close in age to these campers. And then a year later, I was like, wow, we are very similar in age, but at different points in our lives. Like, this feels like I'm having a conversation with my younger brother, and that doesn't make me feel good. And I was just like, yeah, I think there are just certain conversations that I don't feel capable of having with, you know, youth participants, and that being about my sexual activity.
I really love the imaginary world where like you were so engrossed with this book that you didn't even know what the conversation was about. Like,
I don't know. I just really tried my hardest, because I was like, I appreciate, because like in youth work, a lot of the time when youth are having conversations specifically for like my experiences, a lot of the time they don't want adults to be a part of that conversation. And if they do, it's like,
yeah,
answer this one question and then dip out. And so for them to look like all, like one person just ask a question and then four or five sets of eyes look at you, it was just like, yeah, I don't want to say horror, but like, yeah, my heart rate definitely went through the roof. I was just like, I don't feel capable of having this conversation in a way that feels good. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your strengths-based framing of like, wow, they really wanted to include me in the conversation. That's so kind. Which I think is like really real, right? Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh gosh, like they want to talk to me. That's so great. Yeah. But I'm also like, first of all, I appreciate you sharing the story because yes. I feel like so real. But also, and I feel like we've talked about this a bit on the podcast, but I think is really relevant of like newer youth workers to the field. It is true that many people, when they first start working with young people, are really not that grown.
Yeah.
Like that was definitely true for myself. And I think it's true for many people that like we have these like initial moments where we're like all of a sudden like the adult in the room, even though we're like not really used to
thinking grown.
But we just like don't think of ourselves as adults. Yeah. And then you're like, oh no, I'm a grown up right now.
Yeah.
And just like trying to figure out like how to navigate those situations for the first time and just like certainly how stressful it is, but also, yeah, it's just like hard to know that that's even going to like, it's hard to predict when it's going to happen and like catching you off guard. And then this moment of like, oh God, like I just shouldn't be here. Goodbye. It just, yeah.
Well, and I also appreciate even in the sharing of your story, William, like you also acknowledge like had that situation happened to me now, here's how I would have responded. Cause I feel like, oh my goodness, I have like a whole Rolodex of memories from my like earlier, either like teaching or youth worker days of being like, yeah, I would definitely do that differently now. having a little bit more experience under my belt. We're knowing more.
Well, I'm wondering, like, William, like, if you were to, like, train somebody, like, if you were, like, in the role of, like, training somebody who was new to that role, like, how do you feel like, I don't know, or do you feel like it's possible to, like, around thinking about, like, setting those, like, personal boundaries around sharing, like, do you think it's possible to prepare people better for that?
Wow. I feel yes, but I feel also no, because I feel like yes in the sense of, like, you could like definitely practice some like imaginative scenarios and like kind of like gauge like prior to this program, there were a couple of like in-person like training sessions. And a lot of the time we went through like practice scenarios of like, this person said this, how do you respond? And then it was like, as us as a large group kind of like, oh, this is what I would say. And then kind of like, so for me in that situation, I like kind of took a couple of things from a couple of different people and kind of like made that into what I say now. So I think yes, but I think also like you can set them up for success, but I think they're not really going to know how to respond until they're in that situation. And then sometimes even after that situation, like Nat, like you said, like there are definitely some things I probably would have changed. About responses to other, you know, situations. I don't know, I think it's kind of like hard because like you'll never know until you're in that situation, but like you can prep as much as you want. And because I think prepping for that situation potentially could, you know, help you out because you're like, oh, I remember I talked about this with so-and-so. This is how they responded. I'm going to use that. That's kind of how I went about it. But yeah, I feel like I definitely could have been a little bit more direct. I feel like, you know, for how many ever years later, six? Oh my God, 6 years later? Did I do that math? Yeah, math is mathin'. I would definitely be a bit more direct of just like, you know, I really don't feel comfortable talking about that, but I'm not gonna, you know, tell y'all to stop having this conversation because y'all are very similar in ages. It's less weird for y'all to be talking about it rather than like a 25-year-old talking to a 16-year-old about that. That feels weird. And so I think a lot of what I was feeling then in 2018 was of like, I don't want to hurt their feelings. And I'm like, but also now I'm like, I'm not going to hurt their feelings if I do it in a very respectful way of like, hey, I appreciate this invitation to join the conversation. However, I don't feel comfortable with that, but I do, you know, applaud your invitation. And it means a great deal to me, but unfortunately I will not be having this conversation with you. Thank you and goodbye.
I feel like that was a really kind like job rejection letter that you just which I mean in a kind way, but I I appreciate you like naming that like about like what's the like what gets in people's way, right? Like around this like idea of like setting boundaries, because I think that's so real of like, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings, like I don't want to be mean, like these are the things I hear. Like, I supervise a lot of interns who are new to working with young people, which I say all the time, but like what I hear a lot is I don't want to be mean, I don't want to come off too momish, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Like that's the stuff that I hear people saying that's like getting in their way of setting a boundary.
Well, and I recently facilitated a session like with a team talking about boundaries, and particularly the area, like the gray area, like the really gross gray area when it becomes really hard to set boundaries with young people. And some of the, I think some of the other factors that layer onto that, and William, you didn't mention this, but because I happen to know the program that you're referencing, that it's also like an LGBTQ specific program. Yeah. And so sometimes like sharing identities with young people, like add a level of complexity of like, you know, we want to make sure that young LGBTQ folks are getting like appropriate information around, like we hear all the time that they don't get like, right, like inclusive or affirming sex ed, and we want to make sure that they have that information. And also we don't want it to be with like ourselves as the center of those lessons. But the flip side of that, I remember when I was prepping for that workshop, Lizzie, like you also named like the counter side to that of like sometimes have like the kinds of different identities, right? Like when you think about all the like really nice white ladies in social services.
There's so many of us. We're everywhere. Right?
But like, especially in like working with like Black or brown young folks, and how that also creates struggles around boundaries of what, like when you consider like white saviorism and like wanting to be able to like provide for, or sometimes, right? Like the yeah, I think like, and I've just seen that in the various different youth programs I've worked in of like people perhaps making decisions around boundaries where that was like at play, and not to the benefit of the young person, right? Like thinking like, oh, well, by doing this, by providing this resource, or by offering money, or by offering this particular support, right? Like I'm helping this young person, but, you know, are you also creating, how is it impacting like the whole that you might be responsible for holding, or, right? Or even like worst case scenario, I've seen someone get fired for like the appearance of grooming, right? And it's just like, yeah, like all of these things are things that we also need to consider when we're, sorry. Go.
Oh, no, I'm just thinking about, right, or like I hear you talking about like boundaries in terms of like resources, but I think something that I see a lot, like especially as a result, I think of like, usually in my context, it is usually sort of like a white savior vibe.
or like impulse behind it of like not holding young people accountable and believing that that is actually what's most helpful to them. Like, right, of like, oh, well, I don't, kind of like what you were saying, William, of like, I don't want to be mean, or I don't want to hurt their feelings, or I don't want to be like, what I hear a lot is like the coded language of values, right? Of like, I don't want to be punitive. That's what I hear. And that like the assumption that like holding a boundary is punitive. And that like, I especially like, well, as the white person here, I feel like I hear a lot as like the, as like from other white youth workers of the sense of like, well, I don't want to be punitive because I don't want to contribute to like the, these harmful systems and yada, yada, yada. But then what that ends up doing is like creating a real lack of structure and a real lack of like, what does feel like appropriate relationships with young people, right? Where it is like, I'm the adult, I'm supposed to hold the structure of the space, right? Like that stuff, like, and that getting in the way of that for people as well, of just that sense of like, well, not setting a boundary would be like the kinder thing to do.
And I think also,
or like the nice thing to do.
Yeah, I think also part of like setting that boundary of like, I don't want to hurt their feelings, but also on the other hand, like setting that boundary then kind of gives you an out for that conversation. So like, for, I guess that didn't really make sense. in that like moment when this person asked me to contribute to this conversation of like me being like, ooh, I don't want to do this. Like, me setting that boundary and go, you know, I don't want to have this conversation with youth participants, that then shut it down. I think also they were very like respectful about it and they were like, oh yeah, no, I totally understand. But I think that also has kind of like saying no and setting a boundary once makes it so much easier to set a boundary the next time. Because I think for me, like Nat, you've known me for a lot of years. I had a very hard time setting boundaries with a lot of, with every work, personal life, all of that stuff. I couldn't say no to anybody until I started saying no to one person, and then it got easier to say it to another person, and then it just, and now I say no all the time in a respectful way, but like, thank you. I think me setting boundaries with, specifically with youth participants of whatever program I'm a part of, is a lot easier than saying, than setting boundaries, or I guess has made it easier to set boundaries with like, even with adults, but also with like other youth participants, not within like a program, but like in my personal life. Like if my nephew comes up to me and asks me to, you know, do whatever, I can like set a boundary with him in a, you know, a very respectful way. But like even sometimes like when I'm at my other job and I see like another young person, I work in customer service outside of youth programming, but like having them interact with me, I'm able to set boundaries with them as well in like a public and also very respectful way. So I think that's also really helpful for that, and also sometimes set it with their parents, you know.
Real.
Yeah.
Well, but also, well, actually, I'm super glad you said that, because I think that, I feel like that's like a journey that I have also been on in a different way. But like, I think there are things about, I think sometimes in my work with young people, right, like, which I think this is probably true for most people, right? But like, we feel, at least I do, I feel like called to be the best version of myself when I am like showing up for young people, right? Because there's this, like, I feel like you're here for a limited amount of time. Like, I'm going to pull it together for the next hour and a half, and I'm going to like show up for you because like you're worthwhile and you're valuable, and how I show up is communicating all of that. And like, obviously I wouldn't do it if I didn't believe in it, right? So like,
yeah.
So I think sometimes, right, that like desire to like show up that way can like push us to do things that are like really hard for us personally. And like the reality is like setting boundaries is hard for everybody. Like it doesn't matter, you know, like it doesn't matter who you are, like, or what your life experiences are. Like also as like a therapist, I still work with adults on setting boundaries all the time. Like this is really, like it's really hard.
And so I think sometimes we can like learn to do, and like, I don't mean that in a way that's like problematic of like working our shit out on young people. I mean that in the way that like, sometimes I say like how we do one thing is how we do everything, right? Like it's not like we are integrated human beings. It's not like we show up at work as like a totally different person. And so I think it's so true that like we can also grow in our ability to like show up better in our personal relationships while we learn how to show up better for young people because they're people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then we're also like modeling that for them.
Oh my right? God, yeah.
I think like one thing I've been trying to hold in my own work of like getting better at setting boundaries is like the reframe of saying no to something means saying yes to something else. And whether that's mean like saying yes to like my wants and desires or saying yes to, right, to kind of to your point of like showing up as the best version of me for this young person, right? Like by seeing us behave that way, then we also are demonstrating for them so that hopefully it is easier for them to set boundaries earlier in their life rather than us like working it out throughout the rest of our adulthoods.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that too for you, William, like in your story of this like sense of like how lovely to be able to model for those young people that like it's okay to be like, nah, this conversation's not for me. Thanks though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I don't want to toot my own horn, but I think that was like very like, I would hope that, so for me growing up, I did not have a lot of like experience with like adults setting boundaries. Mm. And so, you know, I think me being like, air quotes, the adult in that situation, like, I think that has maybe opened their eyes, the other youth participants, potentially, if they were also in the same like vein as me of like, I don't have a lot of like adults in my life that practice and hold boundaries. Because I don't know, I think that is a lesson that everybody should learn as early on as you can, because I think that will be better for you in terms of like making you feel comfortable in any space that you go into, because you have the ability and like the understanding to like, this is a boundary I have, this is a boundary I don't want to break, and I'm going to stick to that. I think is a very valuable lesson for everyone, but especially youth, because you might find yourself in a position that you don't enjoy and you did it because you couldn't say no. And yeah, that's how I joined my Spanish club.
Oh, that's real. Wow, thanks, William. I guess I'm wondering, before we close with our checkout, I realized that since you're our first specialist of special guests, because you're first, I also wanted to just like, and I fully did not prep William for this, but I'm so sorry. But it occurred to me while we were having this conversation that I imagine that it would be lovely for our listeners to just hear, like, if you had like one piece of advice or one thing that you would want to share, or like a question that you would want like all youth workers to ask themselves, or a piece of advice, or like the best piece of advice about youth work you ever got, like some tidbit of wisdom. Mm. That you would want to share with youth workers. I'm curious what that would be.
Ooh. You really put me on the spot.
I sure did, and I'm real sorry.
No, it's okay. I could do like a funny, like kind of gag answer, or I could do like a serious answer.
You could,
or
I could also do both. I was like, yeah. You could do both.
I think I'm gonna do the both. I think as like a not so serious answer, if you are ever in contact through like email or like, I guess specifically email with a young person, don't use exclamation points. I think they come off as kind of passive aggressive. And I say that as somebody who always use exclamation points, but I had this conversation with another person in my life who also works with youth in a different capacity. And it was like an hour long conversation of like, exclamation points feel like we're supposed to because we're adults and we're supposed to be fun and like excited about this, but also I would never send this to another adult. And I was like,
I feel crushed, so William. I'm feeling crushed. I use a lot of exclamation points on email.
I regularly email lots of adults.
Me too.
With exclamation. So I'm just like, you know what? Okay. Maybe I'm just a really excitable person.
I was like, maybe I'm just not as fun in email. And I'm like, emails are supposed to be professional. I don't know. Not that exclamation point. But
unprofessional. That's a fact. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. I'm excited for how many hours of future conversation I have lined up with that topic.
I am sorry for that, for crushing both of y'all. But I think in a serious answer, I think... Yeah, I think probably I feel like being okay with making mistakes in just like any capacity. Obviously, as long as there's no like ill intent behind it, I think making a mistake with a young person is totally okay. I think very early on, like my first experience being in like a leadership role above or in partnership with like youth participants, like it was very daunting. And I was like, I can't say anything wrong. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't show them that I make mistakes because that will undermine my authority as like an adult. And now that is so far out the window. I make mistakes constantly. I love stumbling over my words in meetings and like, oh, nope, let me take that back. You know, it's, I think, I guess for me, like my perception of like an adult as a young person was very poised, very put together, very like there. And now being an adult, I'm like, that is so far from the truth of like, I am not as, you know, put together as they may think that I am. And like, I am a human with very complex emotions and very complex feelings and all of this stuff. So like me making mistake is totally natural because I think that also like will kind of give them a sense of like, oh, they make mistakes. I can make a mistake. It's not that big of a deal. I don't know. I think kind of like, I hate to word it this way, but kind of showing them that you're a human, mm-hmm. I think, yeah. is kind of how I would word it. I think that is probably something that I would definitely tell 2017-year-old Will. Nope. Mm-hmm. 2017 Will. 18-year-old Will. Yeah.
I really like 2017-year-old Will.
You were there.
I for sure.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of your brilliant wisdom with us. We'll go ahead and close out with our checkout, which is always like something that you're taking away from this conversation or something that you're thinking about. So I will send it over to Nat to start us off.
Yeah, I think also just want to thank you, William, for being here with us. I also want to uplift and appreciate that I think both just like the power of sharing power with young people, which I think like a couple of your answers spoke to that, both as far as letting them see us as humans, help them also deconstruct whatever beliefs they might have around perfectionism that we could just mm-hmm. do away with. But there was something else that you said that essentially like to me felt like giving them agency about, I think it was, oh, the modeling of like setting boundaries and how as like the adult in doing that, like, cause what like essentially setting boundaries is practicing agency, right? You're practicing choice. And I just really appreciated the framing of that, and just like the perpetual reminder for myself that every skill is a muscle, and the more you practice it, hopefully the easier it gets. So these are all the things that I'm feeling leaving this conversation.
Who are you sending it to?
I can make eye contact with you, so I'm going to send it to you, great. And then William knows that he's next.
Okay, great. I love it.
Yes.
Learning how to have a special guest. Okay. I feel like the thing that I'm taking, well, many things I'm taking away, but I think one of the things that I'm sitting with as we're leaving this conversation is just like the importance of what we might call like a parallel process, right? That like we are learning the same thing, learning and relearning again, the same things that young people are learning and relearning and learning again. And just like that as much as like we're learning, they're learning how to like set and be respectful of boundaries. We are also learning how to set and be respectful of boundaries. And that like, I don't know, I think I'm just like really sitting with that and like the power of sharing more vulnerably about like our human condition or like human experience and how, yeah, just like how powerful that is, not only like for supporting young people but also for like training from like a training perspective and like making space for that too. So grateful to be thinking about that, and I will send it over to you, William.
Awesome. I am feeling so many things. One, very grateful for y'all for having me as your first guest. I feel so special and no one can tell me otherwise. Second, I'm feeling very validated in holding boundaries. I've never told that story to anybody. I've never told that story to anybody. And so like thinking about it, a lot of the time I'll get in my own head and be like, oh, I should have said this different, or I should have done that different, or I shouldn't have, like, you know, this or that. And now I'm like, no, that was a perfectly, like, reasonable, like, boundary to have set. Like, the way that I did it was fine. Like, it's okay. But I think also just, like, kind of sitting with, like, understanding of boundaries being hard to set and being very hard to hold, and kind of just, like, shouting out anybody who has ever held a boundary, even when it's felt a little uncomfortable, I think that deserves all of the praise in the world.
Wow. And that's it for this episode of The Third Space. We hope that you'll be back next time for our episode on summer programming. Woo, summer fun. We'd love to have listener questions and ideas on future episodes, so please send us your brilliance in a voice memo or an email. And with that, we will say, thanks, youth workers. We see you. We appreciate you. You rock.